long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope. They give us strength.
Well, welcome everyone to Sunday Morning with Robin Walter. This is a great day as this program continues to expand. Thank you, Las Vegas. This is our first day with the Sunday Morning program on KKVV in Las Vegas, one of the biggest stations that we are on, and I thank the Lord for that. So welcome to this. This is a program unlike many others. And you will see that, or well, you'll hear that, you won't see it, as we proceed through to some very important things that need to be understood in the times in which we are in. Because this is a program that is going to be about training the saints for the end times, surviving, trusting, in some cases even thriving in the face of what we are going to face. And I say that not because we are necessarily entering into the tribulation, but the United States is entering into tribulation. It's entering into judgment, actually. That's a correction. We're entering into a judgment. Is that a political statement? No, everything is from the Word of God, the Old Testament. And in fact, you know what? I'm just reminded here before I go any further, we need to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity, this door that has opened, and I pray that there would be other doors that have opened that we're discussing in the Gulf Coast area among some stations. And we thank you for these opportunities. Father, I sense that this program is for just such a time as this. Ask that you give me the words to say where I haven't prepared, and if I've prepared something that is not of you, just put a cork in my mouth. I will gladly receive the restraint and frankly, the rebuke, if you will. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was alluding to before the prayer, the United States has taken off in a direction for some years now. Our greatest export is, can anybody name our greatest export? The United States? No, it's not oil. That happened under the previous administration. No, it's not wheat. The biggest export we have in this country is sin. Whether it's child pornography, pushing other countries to have abortion, the regime in Washington is very much against things that are biblical. So we need to simply prepare for that, because we are coming under a judgment. In fact, the judgment has already started. But for those of you in Las Vegas who have not heard this program before, I'm going to give you a little quick background, a bit of a refresher for others, because we have not been on the air that long. This is, what, the 22nd week, I think, of this program. I'm a lawyer. I am not a trained theologian. My understanding of Scripture is the result of having read the Word, I don't know, 19, 20, 21 times that I've been through the Bible. I'm not patting myself on the back. The fact of the matter is I can remember some things. I can remember irrelevant things really well. Some of the more important things escape me, which is why, with my lack of memorization, frankly, of Scripture, I have to just keep reading it and reading it and reading it. I think it's a God thing. God bless those of you who can just memorize tons of Scripture. For some reason, I can't memorize a lot. But what it does is it keeps forcing me back to reading the Word again. And guess what? Every time I read the Word, something new is revealed. I wish I had the time to reveal the three things this week, just this last week, that came to me from the Word of God that I never saw in the previous 19 trips through Scripture. Why? Well, some things, some truths don't stick or don't hit until the time in which you are living or what you're experiencing makes that particular passage of Scripture particularly relevant. And they go, oh my, I never saw that before. Well, one of the reasons maybe you didn't see it before is because the situation to which that passage applies was not happening. You weren't in the moment, as they say, of that particular need to understand that particular passage. But I am trained as a lawyer. Lawyers read Scripture a little differently. We do. Interestingly, I and virtually every lawyer I know that has been a Christian for an extended period of time is post-trib. The theologians are pre-trib. And we may get to that, not this program, down the road, but to the point that it's relevant and it will be relevant, we will go into that. But I consider the Word of God, I look at it like a contract. When I read somebody's contract, I start at the very, very beginning, go right through the end. The contract cannot have any contradictions. It can't have anything left out, and it can't and shouldn't have extraneous stuff put in it. So I look at the Word of God as being totally and entirely complete, the four walls, if you will, of the Word, of what God said are in that Word. And so that's how I look at it. There's no division or speculation and things of that sort. I take things chronologically where it's obvious that they can't be. I don't take things and move the chronology around to try to fit some predisposition that I might have about the end times or something of that sort. So that's how I look at it. It's how the books that I've written have been written from that perspective. And that's what you're going to hear. I serve as a judge pro tem in Arizona. And from the bench, I'm the same as I am in the practice. It's sort of just the facts, ma'am. What is the law here? How do we apply the law? What is the plain reading of the Word? And don't get so fanciful trying to turn it into something else because you don't like what the Word says. Okay? Now, I do want to say, I want to encourage those of you who have any interest at all to check out some past programs. So it bears repeating because I haven't said this in sometime, even in the previous episodes, recent episodes. If you want to pick up previous episodes, you can go to any podcast. That's right, any podcast, and you would type in Sunday Morning with Robin Walter, and you will pull them up in descending order. If you are a Rumble fan, and I am a Rumble fan, you would type in something different. You would type in Robin Walter Show. I do two programs. This is the biblical side. The Robin Walter Show is the political side, with some scripture, of course, involved, guardrails. But you would type in Robin Walter Show if you're on Rumble. Okay. Well, what you will pull up are a whole chronology, descending order of programs. One, there is a picture of me in my cowboy hat. And those are the political programs. And the picture with the Bible open and my glasses on it and a gavel, a judge's gavel, just in front of the Bible, those are the Sunday Morning with Robin Walter programs. So now you know how to get it. One last quick thing. Email. This ministry is under the auspices of Red Sky Radio, so the email to me is easy. Red Sky Radio 777. At gmail.com. It's Red Sky Radio 777 at gmail.com. So I've said all this because as a 22nd program, there may be some that you are going to find very helpful that precede this program. We've covered a lot of things. Last week's program was Be a Part of the Greatest Generation. The greatest generation are those who are going to rise up in the course of what? Greatest persecution. And hold fast, having done all to stand, what? We are to stand, therefore. And the program started out, a number of them, dealing with deception. It's what Jesus said. It's in each of the Gospels, the very first thing he says about the end times. In all of the Gospels, every single one that it's addressed, he says, do not be deceived. Don't be deceived. For many, are there going to be false prophets and false teachers that are going to say this and say that? We have pulpits full of them today. I mean, there's a lot of good pulpits, but man, there's a bunch that aren't so great. They're not teaching and preaching the Word of God anymore. So it starts out with deception, but there's other things that you may find helpful in there, such as when must you, not optionally, but must you disobey civil authority? And what happens if you blow it like Peter did and denies Jesus? What happens if you actually obeyed authority when you shouldn't have and it was a complete compromise? How about that? There's a program dealing with the absolute necessity in the end times of getting your family members saved. And why do I say that? Because Scripture says in the end time that the father will come against the son, the mother against the daughter, the father against the son-in-law, the mother against the daughter-in-law, and your enemies will be those of your own household. Well, how would you like to get rid of the problem? Not get rid of your household, but get rid of or do all that you can to rid yourself of the problem that might exist when times get really, really hard, and they're getting hard very quickly. Well, one way to not have your children turn you in or parents turn their children in is if everybody really gets saved and gives their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. That shouldn't happen. It still might. It still might, as I hopefully have an opportunity to point out a little bit later in this program. A couple programs ago about fearing and fearing not, why that is so important in these end times. We all need to be Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, you know, we're not going to bow down to your idol that you've erected, and our God will protect us. But, hey, even if he doesn't, we're not going to do it. We're not going to do it. Of course, what happened to them? Well, they got delivered from a fiery furnace, did they not? Didn't always turn out that way for everybody. John the Baptist lost his head. But the fact of the matter is you're in God's hands, and God will bring you to the point that he's created you for. It's why I said in the last program, be is kind of a command to you. Be a part of the greatest generation. It wasn't World War II. Yes, they fought. Those men fought a great battles for the preservation of our country physically. But you're in, and we are in, a battle for the soul of this nation, not its physical maintenance. Although when you lose the soul of a country, when the country gives away its soul, or more appropriately sells its soul, then physical problems are going to happen. Disease will happen. Gosh, what did I read the other day? We have a first measles outbreak. Syphilis cases have skyrocketed. Coincidentally, since we've opened the border, have gone up something like 22% in this country. 22%, when basically it was almost extinct. Bad things happen when we don't do what you're supposed to do. And there's a program about the fear of God. And how many times, this is a good program to look up, the fear of God, how often God uses judgment to bring about people's honoring, revering, and fearing God. Oh, you've got to hear that program. It is, I wish I could replay them all, but I'm going to tell you what to search for. So we need to be ready for things. We need to even be ready, even outside your family, for traitors. You know, I just finished the book Bonhoeffer, which is a great book. Oh my gosh, about World War II Germany, pre-World War II Germany, and how parents were being turned in by their kids. Everybody was snooping on everybody else for fear of the Gestapo, for fear of the SS, for what Hitler might do. And the gospel got so watered down that the main churches in Germany decided to simply align themselves essentially in a true alliance with Hitler against the Jews. And for why? Why? Fear. They feared the consequences. They wanted the applause and the praise of man more than they wanted the praise of God, quoting from the book of Luke. And so this is something that is really important. If you don't think this is... Well, let me put it this way. This program is not designed to be a substitute for church. It may be a Bible study kind of program. And if you're sick or what have you, then use it for church, because we're just going to cover some things that you don't normally hear from the pulpit, but they are every bit as biblical as everything else in the pulpit. And that's why I thank the station for letting me come on, because we're going to talk about some things that others simply don't. But being ready for traitors, you know, I'm just thinking of a passage here out of the book of Mark, and I think I should just read it. The passage I referenced earlier was from Matthew, but this one from Mark reads a little bit differently. The relationships are different. It says, now, talking about in the latter days here, brother shall betray brother to death, and the father, the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. Now, that was pre-World War II Germany. It's true in other countries around the world, but it's increasingly coming to pass in this country. Yeah, they're not causing the parents to be put to death, but you've got different states and doing different laws and things that where you see people becoming traitors, even to their own family. You know, I mean, this is a quick example, but just the other day, there were six pro-life activists, all found guilty. They face 11 years in prison for what? A peaceful protest, absolutely peaceful protest at an abortion clinic. They were singing hymns. It was a rescue. It wasn't a blockade. And they had this group of, about a dozen. And what happens? One of them, just one of them, a young woman from Michigan, many of them were from Michigan, but a young woman from Michigan decided to turn state's evidence. She ratted out all the others and became a prosecution for the state in exchange for her freedom. She was guilty too. None of them were really guilty, but she didn't do anything less than the others. She just said, I'll turn on my colleagues here if you give me freedom, if you don't prosecute me. So she turned, she made up stuff, and ended up being the main witness against her colleagues, her brothers and sisters, so to speak, who then were found guilty of blocking an abortion, which it wasn't, but her testimony turned it into that. And now they're facing up to 11 years in prison and each a $250,000 fine. And this is increasingly common. Children that are told by teachers not to tell their parents things, teachers that advised kids to come and tell the teachers what their parents are doing, the states that are now sheltering kids who run away from their parents so they can have, you know, do this and that, sex change operations, all these horrible things. It's just the speed with which it is happening is really it's breathtaking. It really is. And so this has happened before. It's happening again. The enemy hates us. He wants to take everybody he possibly can to hell. But he tends to start with where we're the most vulnerable. And where would that be? With our children. That's why Jesus said, you know, it's better for person to have a millstone tied around their neck and be cast into the sea than to lead one of these children astray. So I've said it before on the other program, if I were going back into business and if I were still in California where I practiced law for 30-some years and still do some stuff, if I were to go into a new business, it'd be the millstone business. That's because That's where we are, and it's happening at a breakneck speed. So, understanding going forward here, I want to let you know just where some of the most dangerous places are in this country. And first of all, maybe the womb, because Satan loves death. But to the point of this program, which I want to keep more strictly biblically based, and it will be. It is, and you'll hear that when you listen to any of the previous programs, that the one of the most dangerous places to be in this country in the future is going to be in church. Now, does that make churches bad? No, don't get me wrong. Fact is, the better the church, the more dangerous it will be. The more likely it will be to suffer an attack of some sort, but that's not why. I'm not telling you not to go there. I'm just telling you it's a dangerous place. But we are experiencing just what they had in pre-World War II Germany. And then as people from the government, the FBI is acknowledged going into Catholic churches to hear what traditional Catholics are saying, because why they're dominantly pro-life and, you know, against the transgender hogwash and all that stuff and other things. And interestingly, our own government is calling traditional Catholics extremists. So these are the extremists calling those who are traditional extremists. This isn't any particular defense of the Catholic Church. I'm just pointing out, but that's one of many churches where there are various agents going in, especially if the pastors are outspoken. What are they saying? Where else did this happen? Pre-World War II Germany. Hitler had all kinds of plants in the churches, but not in the ones that were towing the line with the Gestapo, the ones who were actually speaking out against an evil regime and what's going on. And so just understand that. And in fact, there's an interesting passage. This is going to blow you away. Well, it certainly does me every time I read it. And I can't tell you how many times I've read it, I guess. More than 20, folks, because I've preached on this one before. But it's from the book of 2 Corinthians. And you might want to note the 2 Corinthians, and starting in chapter 11, in let's start with verse 13. And it says, "For there are false apostles, deceitful workers." Now keep in mind, this was written in present tense at the time that it was written. So there already were false apostles. There already were deceitful workers. And we talked about before where Jesus said in the end times, do not be deceived, because a deception will grow bigger. You've got an antichrist who's going to perform signs and miracles and wonders. And there's going to be a false prophet that's written about in Revelation. And you're not going to be gone. If you're a Christian, you're here. And we'll get to that down the road. Proof from a lawyer. I could prove it in a jury trial that there's not a pre-trib rapture. There is a rapture, but it's not pre-trib. But he says here, for their false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. These people that look good, sound good, and that yet they are of the devil. Transforming, they will come across as though they are real missionaries, real pastors, what have you. And it goes on in verse 14, it says, and no wonder, no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Isn't that something? Therefore, now he says, okay, everything I just said, this is what it amounts to. It is a no great thing if his, Satan's, ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness. I mean, I have listened to a lot of messages. I'm an older guy. I've listened to a lot. And I've gotten to a certain level of discernment that I'm not so easily confused, misled. And there are messages that I don't like that I can pull out I can glean some truth from an otherwise poor message. And that's more necessary as time goes on, but it's also a feature of being able to, just discern the times, that a feature of your spiritual maturity, that you will be able to tell what's true and not true. And we're going to cover more of that next week in a program you absolutely don't want to miss. I've already got it prepared. Both messages came to me at the same time. But this is what's going to happen. Ministers of righteousness, those standing up with the... I can say it. I have some... in my family tree, some nieces and nephews that are so whacked out and gone off the deep end. They're not crazed in the sense of drug addicts or anything else. They are so warped in their thinking. And why? It was because of the church they attended when they were young. That woman, pastor, is still in that church, still teaching horrible things contrary to the word of God. But guess what? She comes across as gracious, patient, kind, while she spoon feeds lies into the gullible guinea pig sitting there in the pews. And it's garbage in, garbage out. That is going to get worse. And the reason it's going to get worse is because the freedom of being able to preach the truth of God's word without repercussions is fading. There are always going to be those Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's. God bless them. I've said this before. When I go, I hope I go with my boots on. I want to go while fully engaged in the ministry. Fully engaged. I don't want to, and I've heard pastors, gosh, I don't want to get into bringing up names, but a couple recently that have just sort of, after all these years of actually towing the line, being quite revered circuit speakers at various Christian conferences, that have kind of walked the plank because they desire the applause and appreciation of man more than of God, number one. Number two, they fear the consequences of actually speaking out biblical Christianity. I can name you a gazillion articles in Christianity Today that are anything but Christian. It's sliding down. It's a path that's downward. But if you want to know where something is going to end up, find out what direction it's heading. Where is it now, and where is it going? You know, I'm less concerned, honestly, with where anybody is and more the direction that they're going. It's why I love preaching in prisons. The guys who have hit rock bottom. I don't care that the guy's a triple axe murderer by in the law, convicted. But when he smiles at me and I see the light in his eyes because he's accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, then I see, my goodness, there's hardly anything beyond redemption. And people say, what do you mean, hardly beyond? Well, there are a few people that are beyond redemption. That's another teaching, but I will give you all the passages from the Word that clearly indicate there are a few that simply are beyond it. Their conscience has been seared, and there is no coming back. But for these guys, their crimes, horrific. Raping and murder and all of this stuff, and it's just terrible. And then that first time in the prison, and I preached a message encouraging these guys to forget what was behind. The passage from Philippians, forgetting those things which are behind. Forget them, but press on, move forward. If you've got a new life, don't let the past haunt you. I care less about where you guys are right now here in prison and more about what direction in which you're headed. Don't waste your time in the desert. Consider it a state-paid Bible school experience. Immerse yourself in the Word of God. I made a mistake that first day, which I will share with you. The first time there, I told him, I said, you know, I saw the sign as I came through four different gates to get in here, realizing how many gates you got to go through to get out if things fall apart. And that crossed my mind for a minute. But I said, you know, I saw that sign and multiple signs that said you can't bring a weapon in here. And I want to let you know, I snuck a weapon past all the guards. Now, this was absolutely stupid on my part. What the heck was I thinking? I thought it was kind of cute. And now all the guards are suddenly erect, wondering whether they should pull a gun or not. And I pulled out my Bible. I said, this is a weapon. The sword. The word of truth. This is the weapon. This is the weapon that you can possess even behind all these bars. And that day, 77 men came forward to give their heart, their life, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Some are out now. Some are preaching. Hallelujah. Those men were redeemed. God bless you. We'll see you next week. Don't miss the program next week.